1, Churchill Downs. The opening verse stakes was won by Silver Max, a 4-year-old colt by Badger Silver, bred by Steve Snowden, Seth Lauffer, and Will Lauffer, trained by Dale Romans. Scheduled for the turf, the opening verse had moved to the main track because of rain. Made no difference to Silver Max. He opened a 5-length lead in the first quarter, then went on to win by 9.5 lengths, unchallenged. It was a 6-stakes win for Silver Max, boosted his earnings to over $938,000. Among the 6-stakes wins, the Grade 2 American Turf at Churchill, the Grade 2 Virginia Derby, Colonial Downs, and Keeneland's Grade 3 Transylvania. Badger Silver is also the sire of Grade 1 stakes winner Fly Lexus Fly, multiple graded stakes winner Silver Medallion, graded stakes winner in Grade 1 place King Kanji, 2013 stakes winner Lulu Wong, and of nearly 10% stakes horses from starters. A multiple graded stakes winner and millionaire, Badger Silver, stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brer and C. Jones Airdrie Stud for $7,500 live foal. See the website, airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis, from the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursula Ellis.
Well, good morning, everyone, and we're here at the Thoroughbred Center out on the Paris Pike. And pretty busy morning this morning, 45, 46 work, something like that. And gorgeous day, tracks in great position, great shape. And Doc's here, and brought Dr. Simon with him. What's Dr. Simon, what's your first name?
Barry.
Barry, okay. I should know that, but my age, I forget things.
I'm right don't behind
ask,
you. I'm
don't,
right behind
don't ask me what my name is.
Well, Michael's missing it as usual, so.
Where the hell's Michael?
New York.
Oh, he's still in New
yeah.
York? God, he'll come back with an accent, you know. Oh, well. Well, let's see what we're going to do today. Nah, I usually don't even know what we're going to do. But anyway, before I get to that, where in the hell did I put that book? Somewhere in the Derber somewhere. Oh, well, I'll find it in a minute. I guess I went off and left it. What the hell with it? I did remember to bring this, though. Winners from the Thoroughbred Center since last week's show was the first one. Yeah, we've had 13. Now, they said four. Somebody gave me another one, and I can't find it anywhere. Bella, Hispanic kid out here, Noel. I don't know Noel's last name, and I do know the name of the horse, but I looked all over, and I can't find it, and somebody said it won somewhere. I don't know where he went to win it. That would have made 14. That would have made two a day if we had.
Yeah.
But the ones I do have, Scooter Hughes won on the opening, well, on June the 6th at Churchill Downs. Eduardo Caramori, Tim Shue, Scooter Hughes again. Scooter's on a roll. Eduardo again. Raquel Albright, Tim Shue again. Boy, I'm getting all the same names here. Oscar Modica, Marco Castaneda, Bill Wofford, Steve Casey. Steve Casey won one at Churchill yesterday, won the first race, paid $31. And then Jimmy Cargan won the feature race with Hannyville and paid $60-something.
Wow.
Yeah, I know that tight Irishman. No, he didn't bet it. He didn't. I bet he didn't bet $2 on it. You'd have to stand him on his head and shake him to get $2 out of him. But anyway, and then Scooter won another one at Indiana Downs. So That's 13 winners plus one more that I can't find. That's the way it goes. Dr. Simon.
Yes.
Yeah. Is he, you were at Coolmore for a couple of years.
I was there from 82 to 98.
Yeah.
In the days of Stormbird and Woodman and El Gran Señor.
Ah, man.
It's been a while.
What are you doing now?
Put an investor group together and we developed some pharmaceuticals for animals. So we're doing some human medical devices now up in Louisville.
Oh, okay. So you're based in Louisville?
I still live in Lexington, but we're based in Louisville.
Yeah. Are you practicing anymore?
No.
No?
No, haven't for some time.
Is he making too much money somewhere else?
I wish that was the case, but we're working at it.
You and Doc are pretty good friends, I guess. Doc, how long have you been at fooling with Coolmore?
Well, Barry kind of...
We
arrived
same
in Lexington, yeah. I think, the same time in 82.
Yeah.
Is that right?
And we've been friends ever since.
Yeah. Where are you from?
Colorado.
Oh, both of them. Cowboys. All these cowboys come here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you go to Colorado State?
Colorado State, yeah.
Okay. Were you born and raised out there?
Yes. Small town, 500 people. A little town called Cedar Edge.
Cedar Edge. What's it close to?
Grand Junction, Montrose, down a couple hours from Telluride, which was just a mining camp when I grew up there.
Ah.
Big ski area now.
Yeah. So, is your family in a horse business or something out there?
Not really. We were in a very rural area, and we grew up rodeoing. So we had horses, but not in a business kind of way.
Yeah. Rodeoing.
Yes.
Did you rodeo?
Yes. Little Britches rodeos.
Yeah, I got rodeo.
His dad was part of the founding of the Little Britches rodeo thing. So
I never heard of it.
It's a big deal.
Is it a big deal?
It's a big deal.
I don't know much about rodeo. You know,
a lot of fun growing up.
Wow, well, I bet it was. Yeah. Did your dad have a ranch or something out there?
No, he was a dentist. My mom was an RN, but just interested in that type of life.
A dentist and an RN and a producer vet. That's kind of an outcross there.
I guess a little bit. Maybe.
Yeah, right. Don't get too far away from that mic, man.
Okay.
All right. Well, what kind of rodeo did you do? I mean, Broncos? You didn't ride bulls?
Bull riding, yeah.
Bull?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, I think bull riders and steeplechase riders are about the same. They've got to have a different mentality. You got to be a little on the nutty side to be
truthful. That's what's wrong with Barry.
And my daughters do the eventing, so.
Your daughters do
the eventing here, yeah.
Oh, they go over to the horse park.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Do you have a farm here or something?
No. No, we board horses. We kept horses with Doug for years and years.
Oh, still do?
Occasionally, yeah.
Yeah. Where are they now?
Megan Morse, Megan, right over in Georgetown.
Jackie probably knows them. She likes all that stuff, you know, horse park stuff.
It's called Team CEO Eventing. Georgetown.
Right, I don't know. Yeah, don't know much about it. They using thoroughbreds?
Some, yeah. My youngest daughter rides a paint, so it's all kinds of horses. Just
you can event a paint?
Oh, yeah.
Are they any good at it?
Hers is, yeah. It's whatever horse has the mentality to do it, I think.
Yeah. That's fun. Doc, how come he rode bulls and you sling it? Is that right?
I'm too small.
Yeah. Well, Doc isn't very big. I mean, he looks fit.
Doug's a great hand with a rope. He can head and heel. He's very good with the rope.
Yeah, he never told me this. What do you do with the rope, Doug?
You rope the cattle.
Do you know how to rope cattle?
Yeah. Sure he does, yeah. He's very handy with it.
Is that right? Yeah. Well, you have to have a horse that's trained for that, don't you?
Most of them, yeah. Yeah. Either that or dally is to wrapping the rope around the horn, and then if the horse not well trained, you wind up on the dirt.
Yeah. Been there and done that.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun. Well, you came to Lexington to practice then?
Yes. Yeah.
Who'd you go with, by yourself? Or?
I was with Gary Wilson when I first came to Lexington, but within a few months, and Bill Lockridge at Ashford called me and was looking for a vet, so I went to work for him, and then within about a year, year and a half, Mr. Sangster and Mr. O'Brien and Mr. Magner bought Ashford.
Yeah.
I just stayed on there. I went one breeding season to Coolmore in Ireland and then came back and to Ashford and was there for about the next 15 years.
Now, Bill built that place, didn't he?
Yeah. With Robert Hefner from Oklahoma.
Okay, gorgeous place. Yeah, it's one of the prettiest farms around, I think. Yeah. I mean, they kept it just in kind of natural beauty that we got there. It's a great, boy, they've did one about everything now, haven't they?
Yes, it's a great team there.
Yeah, it really is, yeah. Yeah, I know Dermot real well. And, well, they've been sponsors now since, God, I don't know, this show for, I don't know. You know, it, I'm glad to have them aboard. Their commercials are easy to write because they're always winning one somewhere.
It makes it easy.
It, yeah, it does. Well, I got to take a break here. Got to pay a bill and I'll get back to you. Parading, a multiple graded stakes winner of over $530,000 by Pulpit. Didn't you breed, Doug? Didn't you breed something to Parading? Who was it I was talking to that has a head in here that bred to Parading? One of your friends?
I don't think so.
No, you don't think so?
No.
I forget it. Well, anyway, let me get back to the commercial. Parading is a multiple graded stakes winner of over half $1 million, $530,000. He's my puppet out of the graded stakes winner on Parade by Stormcat. She didn't have won the stakes winner. She placed in graded stakes. It's by Stormcat, though. And Parading stands for $3,500 doing the foal stands and nurses. Now, Pulpit's by AP Indy, of course. And he is a sire of sires. On Parade is a full sister to Eclipse Award winner Storm Flag Flying. She won nearly $2 million, including the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly. Now, Parading second dam is My Flag by Easy Gore. My Flag won four Grade 1 stakes, won the Classic Coaching Club American Oaks, won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, placed in four more Grade 1 races, including the Belmont Stakes, and earned over $1,500,000. Parading's third dam is one of the greatest race mares of all time, the undefeated Personal Ensign. So if you're going to look a long, hard time, long time before you find a young sire prospect with a better race record and a better pedigree, one comparable to Parading, who stands for that $3,500, stands at Claiborne Farm, inquires to Bernie Sams. See the website at claibornefarm.com. Can you find that commercial down there, Mary Jane? Can't find it. Well, I know how to do it. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Clay Ward Agency and the tradition of the Clay Ward Agency. They've been insuring the world's finest thoroughbred since 1931. That was year 20 grand, won the Derby. He beat Sweep All and Mate that year. And 20 grand, of course, by St. Germans. And now this has got nothing to do with this commercial, does it? Sweep All was by Sweep. Don't ask me who Mate was by. I can't remember that. But he stood over here at Clarkland Farm, you know. He had Mate over there. Didn't do very good. Well, anyway, success came at the Clay Ward Agency because the business was founded on the principles of hard work and service and attention to detail and a thorough knowledge of the horse industry. And those qualities are carried on today at the Clay Ward Agency by Shaq Parrish and Bruce Isaacs and John Hess. Now, the Clay Ward Agency is closely affiliated with Indian Creek, a farm which down through the years has also established a grand tradition, a tradition for raising runners. Six champions, 13 Grade 1 stakes winners first saw the light of day at Indian Creek. So to ensure your horses, call the Clay Ward Agency in good old Parrish, Kentucky, 987-1861. And to board your horses, ask about Indian Creek, two names to remember and to trust in the thoroughbred industry. The Clay Ward number is 987-1861 again, and the farm website is IndianCreekKentucky.com. That's IndianCreekKY.com. Well, the first foals by Colonel John are two-year-olds on June 2nd at Presque Isle. Cash conversion by Colonel John won a $35,000 maiden special, going 4.5 furlongs, won by widening 2 3/4 lengths. Now, cash convention was bred by Windstar Farm. races for the partnership of Windstar and Blazing Meadows, and is trained by Timothy Ham. Cash Conversion went through the sales ring for $220,000. Colonel John was the nation's leading freshman sire last year, and it's noteworthy that he won going 4.5 furlongs because his sire excelled around two turns. Colonel John won both the 10-furlong Grade 1 Travers and the 9-furlong Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, and he is one of 10 Grade 1 stakes winners by his Hall of Fame sire, Tisnow. Colonel John also displayed speed in abundance, running a mile in 1:32.3 when he won the Wicker Stakes, sprinted 7 furlongs in 1:21.2 as a 2-year-old. He also won the $100,000 Real Quiet Stakes, and placed in Grade 1 Stakes at 2 and retired with earnings of more than $1,779,000. Colonel John stands for $15,000 doing a full stands of nurses. Stands at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim, and see the website windstarfarm.com. All right, I'm talking to Dr. Barry
Simon
and my good friend Doug Beyer here. Jackie was going to ask you, what were you going to ask him about?
Potomac fever.
We went to the Thoroughbred Club, Farm Managers Club, Thoroughbred Club, the other night, and there was a vet there talking from over.
The foot doctor.
What's his name of the podiatrist?
A whole bunch of them. I can't remember that guy's name.
It's very good.
Yeah.
It was good. Yeah, it was a good presentation. Yeah.
The Potomac fever has a tendency to get those horses to get laminitis.
Yeah. That's what he was talking about.
Yeah. And so we're going to go look at a horse in just a little bit. Could be like Potomac fever where the horse gets infected and the feet get hurt. We're going to go look at one after we leave here. And
that's interesting.
Yeah.
But his wife had a riding horse or something that had Potomac fever and was trying to founder.
All four.
Yeah.
So, well, what about Potomac fever? How do you come up with that?
Well, it's in their intestines is where they get it, and then goes into their circulation, and then go to the feet.
Is it a mosquito?
No. Where do they get it from?
It becomes contaminated in the feces. But it doesn't transfer from horse to horse very readily.
Yeah.
So the and I can't remember the name of the bug, but it was mostly seen from the Potomac Valley in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Is it something they eat?
Yeah. They'll get exposed to it. And so then they actually developed a vaccine for it. The vaccine is questionable. But there were a lot of horses that had Potomac fever that suddenly, probably 20 years ago, we began to see it down here. And we still do. Not as heavy as there is in the Maryland in the Potomac Valley, but it's still down here. So you pay attention. I can't remember Barry.
Never really seen.
We had a whole bunch of it in the beginning. Was at River Downs? And
is it caused from an insect or what? Does anybody know? Or
yeah, they do know, and I can't remember the exact insect.
I guess it's prevalent in, around water or something like that.
Yes, right.
Yeah, because the River Downs has got the river right there.
Right, and then
they run a Beulah Park and a river up there. Go ahead.
Well, there was a lot of them, and some would get better, but you know, not unusual. But then it kind of went away, and then went back, and we see it again. And so, in the when there's been a lot of rain, and those horses would get exposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so
we've had a wet spring.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of some horses that Barry was associated with, but most of them would do pretty well. The horses would get enteritis, or the bowel would get inflamed, and they'd get the fever. And
what are the symptoms?
Well, the horse doesn't feel good, and then the feet actually get to be insulted, and they get some laminitis to them. And depending on the severity and the number of feet involved, a lot of horses come out of it. You treat them, and then there are others that just don't come out of it. They wind up being euthanized.
Hmm.
So that was the other thing they would try and determine. And
But he was talking about specifically laminitis, founder, and has had some good results, or is having some results with stem cell research, you know, using that.
Yeah, it's still iffy. I mean, basically, we got all the modern options, but we don't have accurate, reproducible. In other words, you can found a horse and you can give them stem cells.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done that in a lot of horses.
And some of them respond to it.
Yeah.
He showed some before and after pictures of several that were pretty impressive.
Yeah.
You know, that didn't mean that it worked. He didn't show the ones that didn't work.
The problem with laminitis is the horse either gets better or they put him down. So it's tough to and everybody's trying something new, and the fact that we have the farriers or the veterinary farriers that provide these services, so they work on feet much more than we did 20 years ago at all.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so they got corrective shoeing, you've got this and that, and I've had some notes that I had written down here, but you know, you can choose with the shoeing. Grain diet control, those things all make a difference. But at the end of the day, you kind of flipping the coin up there. A lot of them just don't make it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and majority, I shouldn't, that sounds like, the ones that do, we don't really understand how they advance that quickly. You know, of course, we know we've got blood clots in their feet. So then it's a vicious cycle, because if you have those clots, then the tissue dies.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then we have horses that, and Barry can remember, we're very, the sinker syndrome is really a
rotation of
rotation. So those are the worst ones. The coronary band dies, and you don't grow a new foot. So we had a mare,
Ferry Bridge, the dam of Settlers Wells. We lost to laminitis.
Is that right?
Oh yeah.
My gosh.
She got came from her uterus. She got an infection in the uterus, and she found
her. Oh.
Mm.
And I'll never forget, we were at Ashford, and we were changing her wraps on her feet, and I was down on the ground, and she got me with a right cross across and knocked me clean across the stall.
Oh.
And in barn one. Yes. And but got her back in full, but she never was right, and then wound up putting her down. And again, she was a sinker.
Yeah.
And she only sunk on that one foot.
Hey, how old was she?
18?
Something like that. 17,
yeah.
18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what was secretary at 18, 19 when he?
He was 18, and he had, no, he was 19. His thing was what we call metabolic syndrome, insulin. So too heavy,
mm-hmm.
too heavy. And we didn't understand it back then. And now they're doing things in the horses, like in people. Metformin is one of the things to regulate insulin, and of course those things sometimes they affect the pancreas, and the pancreas doesn't regenerate. So you have to
yeah.
And when mentioning that veterinarian, you know, saying good results with stem cells, you know, I've seen good results as well, and I've seen bad. It's just it's tough.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's
I got to ask you one thing.
Yeah.
I said, what the hell is that on your t-shirt there?
My daughter brought this back from the Netherlands.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so she,
how do you pronounce it?
I don't know.
It's M-A, it's something university, and it's M-A-A-S-T-R-I-C-H-T.
You have to ask Bill
Vandendul. Yeah, call Bill Vandendul and ask him.
But you won't know if he's telling you the truth.
Oh, you know Bill real well.
Okay. And this is Brand here.
Okay.
Brand, you want to say hello right here to the...
Hi.
How old are you, Brand?
9.
Okay. Is this yours?
Yes.
Very?
Yes,
okay.
It is.
Oh, all right. 9. You going to be a vet when you grow up? You are?
I want to.
You want to? Well, good for you. Well, you've got the right bloodlines, I'll tell you that, to do it. You going to send him to Colorado State?
Well, we'll see.
Well, you'd have to get him out there riding, send him out there to ride some bulls first. Yeah, look like he can do it. He's like 9 years old. You're pretty big for 9. You're pretty tall. Yeah.
I'm actually the oldest one in third grade, but I'm the shortest.
You're the oldest, but the shortest.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what to tell you about that. You look big to me because I'm sitting down. Got to take a break.
Okay.
All right. Well, First Defense has sired 2 graded stakes winners in his first crop to race. Close Hatches has won the Grade 2 Gazelle in New York. And then on May 27th at Belmont, he ran second in the Classic Grade 1 Acorn. And Dundonnell has won the Group 3 Acum Stakes, the King Charles II Stakes, and placed in the Group 2 Champagne and the Group 3 Craven Stakes in Great Britain, and in his lone start in the USA, he ran 4th of 14, ran a nice race in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. 2 other first crop starters by First Defense placed in stakes. New Line was 2nd in the Trippy Stakes at Belmont after breaking his maiden by 5 lengths down in Florida. And Smoking in the Boys' Room, overcame her name, obviously, won a maiden special, then ran 2nd in the Turfway Preview Stakes. It's another colt. Other promising runners by First Defense include In Kelly's Defense, win of a maiden special at Churchill on June 2, stakes contender Fire Guard, and the first 2-year-old starter from his second crop, Z-Stone, was a game 2nd in her debut in a maiden special at Keeneland. First Defense stands for 7,500 live foal at Judmont Farm, where he is receiving strong support from the people at Judmont. Judmont is also the home of the classic sire Mizzenmast. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke and Fry, and see the website at judmont.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, if you have a late foaling mare and you want to send to a real racehorse that stands for a modest fee, consider Tiago. Tiago earned $2,358,270, and he stands for $3,500 doing a foal stands and nurses. Now, he don't earn that kind of money by dodging tough competition. During his career, Tiago met and defeated 23 Grade 1 or Group 1 stakes winners, including the likes of Curlin, Hardspun. He won a place in 11 graded stakes. He won the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, the Grade 1 Goodwood, and the Grade 2 Swaps Breeders' Cup Stakes, and the Grade 2 Oaklawn Handicap. And among his stakes placings, you'll find the Grade 1 Belmont and the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. Tiago is one of 58 stakes winners by Pleasant Tap, and he's a half-brother to the classic winner Giacomo, winner of over $2,537,000, and the sire of 17 stakes horses in his first three crops, and of four 2013 stakes winners, including the Grade 2 stakes winner Disposable Pleasure, missed winning the classic Grade 1 Mother Goose by less than a length. Tiago stands at Adena Springs, home also of Awesome Again, Einstein, Giacomo, Macho Uno. Inquiries to Eric Hamelback, 859-987-1798, and see the website, adenastallions.com.
I don't know if you're that.
All righty. I've got two veterinarians. I'm overwhelmed by vets here today.
Yeah.
What are you reading over there, Doc? Dr. Barry Simon? Is something you
this
brought
is,
in?
We're talking about laminitis, but we're also the government after soaring of the Tennessee Walk horses now. And they're cracked down. But, you know, that law was called the Humane Act of 1974. And the government had all these inspectors, but they never followed through on anything. So now it's become politically very...
They follow through on everything now.
They're throwing everything they can at it. And I also remembered on your Potomac fever, that's snails.
Snails.
And so Neil Rickettsia was the organism. And so Potomac fever would come by exposure to... snails, and there were some horses that would. There were a couple of farms that had snail problems, always near water.
Yeah.
Would Elkhorn Creek or something? Would it be creeks and things like that?
Yeah.
Oh my!
So the horse would pick that up and get that problem.
Snails, okay. Now we know.
Hey. All right, come on in, sit down.
Well, we'll
have put up a stool over here. Oh, that's my guest. He's early.
Well, we got here early, and because we weren't hampered by Michael.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Did he rope you into this, Barry?
Yeah, I'm the driver today. So
you're the chauffeur.
And I can drive, but I've got a wife that. She keeps a...
Are you scared of her? Is that it?
Well, see the thing on my neck?
Yeah.
Where the rope goes?
Yeah. I thought it was one of those collars that they shock you.
Yeah.
You know, you get out of line, she'll give you a couple of bolts.
Oh. Yeah. She worries about everything.
Of course. It's her job.
Well.
Okay.
But anyway, going back to these soaring horses and the government would... So they've got all these points that, you know, how to get it done now. And it's a little bit of the racing commission type of thing where the government's going to do it right and the veterinarians are not going to get it right.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's a constant battle. And those horses, Some of those horses will get so inflamed in their feet by the irritation, the mustard oils, they would get foundered in as well.
Yeah.
So they had a lot of complications.
All righty.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Barry. Thanks for coming by. I appreciate it. Nice to meet you. Come back anytime.
Okay.
Bring your own beer and a folding chair.
Doug, who you like in the race today?
He wants to know who you like in the belly.
Stay with four. And I don't know who the field is. There hasn't been a whole lot of publicity on it.
Who's this and who do you like? Who was it you said you like?
Orb.
Oh, Orb?
Yeah.
I kind of like
him
too.
Yeah.
I kind of a little afraid of Palace Malice. I think he might run good in there.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun race.
Yeah.
When you catch up to your feet.
Well, if you and I both like him, we probably just killed him.
We won't take a break on.
Patrick, how are you? Doug Byer, Barry Simon.
Well, here comes another run about the hare. May 29 at Arlington Park. Ascot Eye, a 3-year-old filly by DeHare, making her first career start. Won a maiden special by an eye catching 7 3/4 lengths. Bred by Hadi Al Tajir and carrying the Shadwell Silks. Ascot Eye wired the field, going 5 furlongs on the dirt in a near track record time, 57-4. She's one of 10 winners from 12 starters by DeHare. A list that includes the multiple graded stakes winner Gypsy Robin, winner of $498,000. Asia, second in $100,000 Busanda stakes at Aqueduct, multiple stakes place Castella. In other stakes last Saturday, just Sizzle, a colt from the first crop by classic winner Jazzle, just missed in the Grade 3 Aristides at Churchill, finishing a second by a neck to the good Scat Daddy colt Scatman. Led all the way. And just days earlier, Najer, another colt from Jazzle's first crop, ran third, beating a nose and a half length in the Grade 3 Clark Handicap at Churchill. Classic winner Jazzle has already sired a Group 1 winner in Europe, a Group 1 winner in South America, and a listed stakes winner in Europe. He's also the sire of the highly promising Safri, winner of his first 3 starts in Europe, and a recent second in Group 3 stakes in France, and his 4th outing. Grade 1 stakes winner DeHare is getting runners. He's by Awesome Again, and he stands for 5,000 live fold. Grade 1 stakes winner Jazzle's by Seeking the Goal, $4,000 live fold, and both stand at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Ken Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. All right, I want to talk about my good friend Ralph Quillen's Quillen Leather and Tack, which is down in Bourbon County. Been down there since 1982, I believe it was, right down South Main Street in Paris, Kentucky. If you're going in from the Lexington area, just keep going straight in. Don't turn left on the bypass. Go to the third stoplight on your left. And there you are. It's Quillen Leather and Tack, the nation's largest custom halter shop. They ship over 17,000 halters a year worldwide. And if you're local and you come in and you buy something from Quillen Leather and Tack, talk to Sandy or Debbie or Ralph if he happens to be around, and you get his 10% discount just for being local. And they like the local business, and they've got a great gift shop down there. They've also got the best tack shop in the country. No two ways about it. And to their website, let me give you their website. It is quillin.com, quillin.com. And they've got a Facebook, too, .com, Quillen Leather. So anyway, Ralph Quillen's Quillen Leather and Tack right there in Bourbon County. And let's see, today's Daily Racing Form, the breeding edition came out, got some interesting articles in there. John Sparkman has written an article about Galileo, who is, without doubt, nobody can argue about this. I think the world's leading sire, just sired the winner of, I believe, both the French and the English derbies. And Cynthia McFarland is writing on Florida breeding and racing. And by golly, they better get their act together with their racing dates down there. They're going to screw things up again. Patrick Reed is writing about the classic winners, which are doing the best now. The homebreds or sale horses in the winners of the classic
classic races. Also, he's written an article on Candy Ride. And, of course, Steve Anderson is writing about the death of NXS down there. NXS was one of the most successful studs in California. Of course, side of one of my all-time favorite horses, Indian Charlie. So that's in the Sunday edition of the Daily Racing Form. Pick it up, and you'll be glad you did. There's a whole lot going on there that are going to read about. I just picked mine up this morning. I'm going to have Patrick Warris going here in just a second. Glendalough Farm down close to us. Sit down, Patrick. Either one of these pews will do. Patrick Warris owns Glendalough Farm. Is that right?
Glendalough LLC. That's a big story behind that.
Well, let me. I love big stories. Get a little bit closer to the mic.
There you go.
I have a partner, and his wife is Irish, so they were picking out names. So she picked
out. Is she a native of Ireland or just?
I think she's
second generation.
Second generation.
Oh, they never let go though, did they?
So she picked out names. I looked down the list. And I said, "Well, that one sounds good."
Yeah.
So did a research. Nobody had that name. As soon as we put that name down, all of a sudden there's a farm that had that name. So we are Glendalough LLC instead of Glendalough Farm.
Oh. Well, where's the other Glendalough?
Mount Horeb Road.
Really? Mount Horeb. Yeah. Huh. I'm trying to think where that would be. I know Mount Horeb pretty good. Yeah, Jackie and I got married at Mount Horeb Church. It's still standing, by the way. It's
it must be concrete.
Too old. Yeah. Oh, but it's stone. Well, that farm, Patrick's farm, is hell, he's a neighbor.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I think I can probably, where I live, if in the wintertime, I probably can see your farm from where we live. We're looking across.
Right. Yeah. We're only about 800 yards away.
Yeah, as the crow flies.
Right.
Yeah, on Brentsville.
Correct.
Yeah. There's some nice farms on Brentsville.
That was Junior Little's farm, and he raised a lot of good horses there, and we're trying to do the same.
He raised a Preakness winner, Hansel.
Hansel was raised there, Incatab. The last year's Trinenberg was raised there.
Is that right? I didn't realize.
There's been, I think, 5 champions raised there and 7 grade 1 winners.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So we're trying to do our best, and our first one is out in Golden Gate having workouts right now.
What's he doing in Golden Gate?
Well, one of the local bloodstock agents here, Jason Litt, bought it for a California outfit and the Keeneland sale, and she's working out now, and she'll be running here, I think, next month.
What's her name?
When I'm calling you, because her mother is Indian Love Call, and that's the first line of Indian Love.
Should have named it Jeanette.
It is the first line.
Right.
Yeah. Should have named it Jeanette McDonald.
Yeah.
Up in the Colts, could have been Nelson.
Right.
Now, I'm ahead of you now.
Yeah, you're a little bit.
There's Jeanette McDonald and Nelson Eddie were in that movie where that song came from, the Indian Love Call.
I'll have to go watch that sometime.
It's a great movie. He was a royal man. Let me tell you about this.
Black and white, too.
Yes, in black and white. But it's speaking. But she had a marvelous horse, and so did he. And it was taken in Canada. And he was a royal mounted police. You know? The way I remember it is her brother was some kind. He was after her brother
or something.
Yeah, brother was a crook. And, you know, I mean, it was. But the
music was good.
Yeah, the plot was bad, but the music was great. With Nelson Eddy, and they were in a bunch together, Jeanette McDonald. But so I bet you that's your partner knows where they came from.
Oh, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, where'd you come from?
I originally came from New Jersey. And
well, have you overcome that yet?
I'm still working on it. My accent has gone away. My father was an exercise rider back before World War II.
Oh, who'd he ride for?
I have no idea. That was well before my time.
Yeah.
And then I've always grew up like in right New York City area, and I'd go to Aqueduct and Belmont and the Meadowlands when it was, you know, going pretty good. And
yeah.
And then I'd go to Saratoga in the summer.
Oh, well, you got interested in it right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Since a little kid.
Did you ever watch your dad ride exercise?
No, never.
Did that?
No, he was too busy working after, you know. Yeah. But no, he stopped riding for pre-World War II.
Oh, okay. Was he in World War II?
Mm-hmm. He was a corpsman in the Navy.
Well, God bless him. Yeah.
And then after I went to college, I went in the Marine Corps.
Oh.
And I spent 20 years in the Marine Corps, and I was a pilot, flew helicopters and flew airplanes in the beginning, then helicopters, and then about 14-year mark, I went as an exchange to the Air Force, and I was a jet instructor for the Air Force for three years.
Well, thank you. So appreciate that. Yeah. God bless you, too. I'm a big fan of the armed services.
Remember what's in the Navy?
Yeah, but I wasn't a big shot. I was a radioman.
So I retired in 2004, and then I was a dog trainer after that.
Yeah. Well, first, let's go back to college. Where'd you go to college?
University of Chicago.
Oh, did you?
In economics, and I can't make a penny.
Right. Hey, didn't Patrick major in economics?
He has a master's in economics.
Yeah, from Chicago.
So he can't make 10 cents.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So what? He's a speech writer for NATO now. Yeah. Yeah. Can you believe that?
Yes, sir.
Anyway.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, right. But you went to University of Chicago. How come you picked Chicago? Just because of they've got a great economics is their big thing here, isn't it?
I didn't go there for economics, though. I went there to be a doctor, and then chemistry decided I wasn't going to be a doctor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, hell, I can relate to a whole lot of that, I tell you. Yeah. Well, and then did you go into the services right after that?
Right after college, I went in. Yeah. And I was stationed on the West Coast most of the time, and I've sailed the Pacific 7 times and spent a lot of time in Middle East and all over the Pacific, a little bit in Africa.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. 20 years worth.
Mm-hmm. And everywhere I'd go, like on a trip, if I could make it, I was in England one time, so I went to Newmarket. I've been to Hong Kong, and I've sort of seen the races in Hong Kong. So,
what'd you think of them?
It was nice. It was great.
Yeah.
Everything's
big crowds there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's either fishing or going to the racetrack. Depending on the season.
Yeah.
What kind of fishing?
Mostly ocean fishing.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what when you got out, what you started training dogs?
I've always had dogs. And then I...
Don't get too far away from that mic now. Okay. You got a good voice, but it's... So
I have these performance hunting dogs. They're big running hunting dogs, field trial dogs.
Okay.
They're pointers. They're German short-haired pointers or English pointers. And I would work them off a horseback. And so I had one. It was a pretty good dog. And the second year I had her, she was our national champion. And I was the national amateur champion with her.
Wow.
So then after a couple of years, I said, you know, I was paying people to train my dogs. I was like, I can do this myself. So I did it. And since, I won 4 national championships and over 30 hour championships. And it was just fun to do off a horseback. And, you know, you got to ride every day. And
Do you know Jim Pendergast?
Name sounds familiar.
Well, he is the general manager of this place. Of the Thoroughbred Center here, and he's got
pointers.
I don't know. He hunts these dogs all the time, and he's had one that was a champion somewhere. I don't know where it was. He lived. You've got to meet him.
All right, well,
really a nice guy, and he loves it. And he does on horseback too. You know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think he uses a Tennessee Walker.
Yep, that's what I have. I had a bunch of Tennessee Walkers and a Missouri Fox Trotter.
Yeah.
And
what is a Missouri Fox Trotter?
It's a little bit more athletic than a walker. It's a little stouter, and the walker is smoother.
Yeah,
but they're, you know, there's a gated horse.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
Have
you ever heard one, Jackie?
I've heard of it.
He'd rather break into a canter than stay in a walk.
Oh. Oh, okay.
But good horse. I raised him up from a baby.
You still fool with these dogs?
Every now and then. It seems like I do more on the telephone. People always call me up saying, hey, how about this? How about that? I was like, I'm done now. I came down here with 2. The first day I had one that went out the front gate and never came back.
Oh, my.
And then the other one, which liked to run, I sent her back to Nebraska. And she's with a friend of mine. He has about 4 of my dogs. Yeah. It's my retirement center.
Did you hunt?
Do I hunt? Yeah, I hunted a lot.
Yeah.
I would start.
What'd you hunt?
Any kind of bird there is. You know, Nebraska was mostly prairie chickens and sharp-tailed grouse. Montana would be sage grouse and there's sharp-tails up there and Hungarian partridge. Then I'd work my way down toward Texas.
A Hungarian partridge.
Yeah, they're good eating. I'd be in Texas in the winter. And there's quail down there.
Did they make a noise with an accent?
No. Well, that's how I met my partner, is that I trained in Kansas in the winter, and I lived in a horse trailer. And my partner had, I was on the ranch next to where his ranch was, and he had retina surgery. So he needed somebody to sight in his rifle. So I sighted in his rifle. We were talking, and I told him I had a thoroughbred mare, and he said, that's interesting, because friends of mine own mine that bird, and I'd like to get a horse.
Ah.
So that's how we got together.
Oh.
So I said, well, there's a million ways we can do this. We can claim one. We can raise one. We can buy one. And he said, well, let's raise one. And that's how we got Indian Local.
Let me get back to you. I got to take a break.
Right.
Commercial break here. Well, SmartStrike is North America's leading active cyber cumulative earnings. To date, it has sized the winners of over $96 million. Dominus, standing his first season at stud at Spendthrift, is by SmartStrike. He's out of a stakes-winning daughter of Lord of War, and he was a runner. Never off the board in his first eight starts, Dominus won the Grade 2 Dwyer on the dirt, won the Grade 2 Bernard Baruch on the grass, both in front-running fashion. Dominus is eligible for Spendthrift's Breed Secure program. You breed, you sell. If you don't profit, you don't pay. Also eligible for the program are the Young Stallions Line of David Notional in Temple City. Line of David won the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby over Super Saver, and he's by Lionheart from the female family of Mr. Prospector. His first foals are yearlings. Notional sired a two-year-old stakes winner in his first crop, and the first two-year-old starter from his second crop won a maiden special at Keenan. So he has demonstrated already his ability to sire runner. Temple City is a graded stakes winner and a track record breaker by Dynaformer, out of a half-sister to Malibu Moon and his first foals are yearlings. Not too late to take advantage of the Breed Secure program. Just contact Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Mark Toothacker. Number over at Spendthrift Farm, 294-0030. See the website at spendthriftfarm.com. I want to talk about a product called Reborn. Reborn is a whole concentrated bovine colostrum. It provides support through all stages of a thoroughbred's career, and especially for foals. That's the way you start them out. What do you want, honey?
It's time for my testimonial.
On Reborn?
For Lubricin.
Well, I'll get to Lubricin. Okay. We're talking about Reborn now. You don't need any colostrum, do you?
No.
Okay.
I hope not. I'm not taking it.
I hope not more than you do. Anyway. But it's, I tell you, who ran on Reborn, though, was Wise Dan, who was the horse of the year. So it builds up the immune system, starting with foals. And it's easy to use, and it's reborne.com is a website. Now, Jackie wants to talk about Lubricin because she's a great believer in it. They make it not only for horses, and some well-known people other than Jackie.
Really?
That use it, Todd Fletcher and Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollendorfer and Michael
Becker.
We're
real close.
She's got a little age on them, but other
than
that. But anyway, you do.
I'm going to smack him for that one.
You do too. Well, I'm used to sleeping on the couch. Go ahead.
We got some. They gave us some. And, you know, I just went ahead and tried it. And I didn't pay really close attention. And then about a week ago, I forgot to take it. And what was it, day before yesterday, I could hardly get up. One of those you get down on the floor and we crawl around to find something to crawl up on. And I absolutely got back on it. I mean, that stuff really works. I didn't realize how well it worked till I didn't take it. So
there you have it. I'll tell you where you can buy it. The KBC in Lexington sells it, and Horse Sense down in Versailles. But go to the website, and they'll get it to you. It's lubricin.com is their website. Two great products, incidentally. A Broken Vow has sired more than 100 stakes horses. He sired 19 2012 stakes winners. That was the third best in the nation. And he sired 6 already this year. Remember that when you see a Broken Vow yearling at the major 2013 auction, chances are good that you're looking at a runner. Broken Vow is the son of the classic winner and classic sire and bridle. Stands at Pin Oak Stud. Also at Pin Oak, Cowboy Cal and Sky Classic. The first foals by Cowboy Cal at 2-year-olds. Son of Giant's Causeway, Cowboy Cal won the Law of Fortuity at 2 went on to win graded stakes at 3 and 4, earned over $1 million. In fact, Cowboy Carroll won a place in 13 stakes, 11 graded, 4 grade 1. He was a runner, got a great pedigree. Sky Classic, well, he's done it all. He won the Eclipse Award, earned over $3,320,000. He sired 59 stakes, winner, 6 champions, and over 100 stakes horses. Even Black Type Your Mare, Broken Vow stands for $15,000 live foal. Cowboy Cal and Sky Classic, $7,500 live foal. Inquiries at Clifford Berry. See the website at pinoakstud.com. All righty, I'm talking to my neighbor, Patrick Warisk, and I left him in the middle of training dogs. No, we were getting you to Kentucky, I believe. Come on, how you... This, you were going to claim something with your partners, or what, how did you get together with
it? Well, that was our decision, how we were going to do it. And so we were going to raise our own. So we had one, and...
Had one what?
Oh, we had a mare.
Okay.
We bought one out of the January sale, and Shaw Hong Place, Matt Cook, we had it boarded there.
I know why. There's another Marine.
Yeah, of course.
Well, yeah, you probably
we all stick together.
Yeah, I know.
Let's stick in them water. And then we decided we wanted to get another mare. So we did that, and we kept her there. And then after time, I had some corn ground up in Iowa that was pretty valuable, and I sold that farm, which I, where I lived, and bought a farm down here. That's how I decided to come this way.
Okay.
It was the right time to sell, let's put it that way.
Let's get back to how come you ended up in Iowa?
I retired. My last job was in Omaha, Nebraska. I worked for the National Airborne Operations Center. I was like the operations officer for the Pentagon in the sky.
Okay.
And that's where I retired. And I lived right outside Omaha and Bellevue. And again, property was right time to sell. So I sold that and bought a farm in Iowa. But I had a farm in New York. I sold that and then put it all together. So that's how I had the farm in Iowa.
Where was the farm in New York?
Let's see. It's about 40 minutes west of Albany and 20 minutes east of Cooperstown, where the Baseball Hall of Fame is.
What were you doing with that?
That's where I grew up. So, you know,
I thought you grew up in New Jersey.
I did, but I had neighbors had 12 kids, and then they had a farm.
Your neighbors had 12 kids, or you had 12?
The neighbors had 12 kids.
Oh, okay.
So we would go up to their farm.
Must have been a good Catholic family.
Yes. And we had 6 in our family. So
okay.
Then we'd go up there in the summer.
God, that's a lot of kids.
Right. And then one of the neighbors had a dairy farm up there, and the husband died, and she sold it off. And I bought some, my brother bought some, and one of the sons of the neighbors bought some. And then eventually I sold it to them.
Oh, okay. So they got you out of New York.
I got me out of New York in taxes.
Right.
The taxes up there were killer.
Yeah.
But
well, still are, I believe.
It would be nice to have a farm in New York also now.
Yeah, right now it would. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. But hey, you couldn't do any better than where you are. So you sold the place in Iowa.
Yep.
Okay.
And came down here last July.
How'd you find Paul Little's place? Not Paul.
When right? I came, before, the in
Marvin
the last
Little.
Year.
Marvin Little.
Marvin, yeah. In the last year, I stayed at the Cook's place and helped work in there. Mm-hmm. And I would spend the evenings driving around looking for farms.
Okay.
And looking paper and this and that. And eventually, that was the one that we found. It was close. It was good, productive land. It was set up already. You didn't have to do any improvements. And went right from there.
Yeah. What are now the Cook family and Ted Custer?
Right. Correct.
What's the Shawnee place?
Shawhan.
Shawhan.
Shawhan place.
Shawhan place. Yes. Yeah. And they're boarding. You're doing some stuff with them now.
Right. Matt keeps horses at my farm. We have our own little broodmare man that my partner Ralph and I have, and then the other space Matt keeps horses there.
Mm-hmm. What does your partner do?
Farm, ranch. He has a ranch in Kansas, Oklahoma, and Colorado.
Okay.
And he's a grain farmer and cattle.
How come he wanted to get in the horse business?
Because his friends don't mind that bird, and he wanted to compete with them.
Okay. All right. Well, mind that bird was foaled right here in Kentucky.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so you all got together and bought that. How many acres in that place?
There's 146 acres.
I didn't realize it was that big.
Right. 3 real nice barns, real airy. I got, let's see, there's 19 stalls in one, 13 in the other, and 12 in the other, and then I got a couple other barns, but those are the main barns we use. And I think there's 22 paddocks.
Okay.
Yeah. There's some big fields and you know, smaller paddocks.
Yeah. Now, I knew Marvin not real well, but I had him on the show once, shortly after that horse won the Preakness.
After Hansel?
Yeah. I met him a few years after that. Hansel won it. Yeah. He didn't see the race, you know. He saw it on TV. He's got a long story. Ever tell you about that?
No.
Yeah, he got hung up somewhere in an airport. And he says, I bred that horse. You know, there's a big crowd standing around. Everybody looked at him like, who the hell are you? You know? But he, if I'm not mistaken, he was originally from Virginia.
Correct.
Yeah, Northcliffe, was he associated with?
I don't know any of that.
I know he bred a lot of horses with the Island family that had Monmouth Park.
Yeah.
And he used to breed to Crafty Prospector all the time. Yeah. Yeah.
But other than that, I really
don't. Well, how many mares you and your partner had now?
Right now, we're up to six. I still have my Iowa bred one, which I send her back to foal, and then I bring her back here. But
well, you know, pretty good purses out there.
Yeah, Prairie Meadows. Good money in Iowa.
Yeah, Prairie Meadows, yeah.
And so that's what you're aiming for. Breeder money, they pay down to fourth place.
Is that right?
Yeah. I got a 2-year-old up there this year that hopefully he'll do something.
Okay. What's he buying?
Parading.
Parading. Hey, I just did a commercial on Parading.
I have his full sister. I also bred bred her back to Parading. She's nice, and she's going to go up to Iowa this year.
Okay. Did the mare run or anything like that?
The mare is unraced, but there's a long story on this one, too. She was given to me. She was actually...
They're usually the most expensive horse.
I know. No, actually, she's been the cheapest one.
Okay.
She had 5 foals right at, you know, she never ran. She had an injury on her foot. Mm-hmm. Her first horse was a stakes place horse up in Iowa, and then all the other ones have won. They've 4 horses of... I think her total was like 240-something thousand. The 5th one died. And then she disappeared. And then one of my buddy's daughters, who's a 3-day eventer, had her as a broodmare to raise 3-day event horses.
Huh.
So she had 2 horses there. Then she was put on the shelf for another year and a half or 2 years. And then Tony said, we got to get rid of some of these horses, Laura. So she gave one to me, being that I was their neighbor and it wasn't going to go anywhere. But I got to take care of it. So I sent her down here to Parading. And that's where I got the 2 Paradings.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and they're nice horses.
Yeah, well, he's got a license. He's a well-bred horse.
Oh,
and he can run. Mm-hmm. He can run. Claiborne. He's keeping it right there in Bourbon County.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's how I got introduced to the Cooks.
Okay.
Well, of course. Yeah.
I got to top of the hour. I got to do it again. Let's see. Well, June 1 at Churchill, the Grade 3 Aristides was won by Scatman, a colt from the first crop by Scat Daddy. 2 days earlier, the Grover Buddy Delt Memorial at Delaware was won by Riencia, a colt from the first crop by Majestic Warrior. Scatman, bred by JEOG Racing and trained by Bill Mott, is the 12th stakes winner from the first 2 crops by Scat Daddy. 8 of the 12 have won graded stakes. He ranks number 1. Among old third crop sires by a number of graded stakes winners, and of course, he was the leading freshman sire of his year. Rienzi was bred by Pope McLean Jr., and Mark McLean, and trained by John Service. The $350,000 grad of the 2012 Facey Tipton February 2-year-old in training sale, he is the 6th stakes winner from the first crop by Majestic Warrior. A list that includes the 2013 winner of the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks, Princess of Sylmar. Princess of Slymar. Well, the nation's number 1 sire of 2-year-old winners in 2012 with 30 is now the number 1 second crop sire by cumulative earnings. Leading sire Scat Daddy and Majestic Warrior stand at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Look for the yearlings at the major 2013 auctions and see the website at coolmore.com.
WLXC Lexington, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, Central Kentucky's only Toyota Express Maintenance Center.
Toyota Nicholasville!
Jock went off and left that with me.
Well, June 1 at Churchill Downs, the opening verse stakes was won by Silvermax, a 4-year-old colt by Badger Silver, bred by Steve Snowden, Seth Lauffer, and Will Lauffer, and trained by Dale Romans. Scheduled for the turf, the opening verse was moved to the main track because of rain. Didn't make any difference to Silvermax. He opened up 5 in the first quarter and then went on to win by 9.5 lengths, unchallenged, according to the chart. It was a 6 stakes win for Silvermax, boosted his earnings over $938,000. Among the 6 stakes wins, the Grade 2 American Turf at Churchill, the Grade 2 Virginia Derby, and Keeneland's Grade 3 Transylvania. Badger Silver is also the side of the Grade 1 stakes winner, Fly Lexus Fly, multiple graded stakes winner, Silver Medallion, graded stakes winner in Grade 1 place, King Kanji. Through 2013 stakes winner, Lulu Wong, I love that name, and of nearly 10% stakes horses from Stars. A multiple graded stakes winner and winner of over $1 million. Badger Silver stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton and C. Jones Airdrie Stud for 7,500 live foals. See the website, airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All right, I'm talking to Patrick Warisk, a neighbor of mine down at in good old Bourbon County, and talking about his brood mares. You said you had 6 now?
Right.
Boy, they're like guinea pigs, you know. I mean, first thing you know, you're going to have 18 or 20 horses running around there.
Well,
when you count the foals and the yearlings.
It's been tough breeding season, you know. I've had claimed one off the track in end of March. Couldn't get her in foal. And
well, horse right out of in training, you know.
So we're going to put her on the shelf, and we'll start her again in January. And then I had an older one, which we had Dystocia having the foal, but we got the foal out, and everything was perfect. And, and she's just not ready to have a get back in foal, so we're minus 2 for this year, but we'll get them.
That's all right, you know. Who are the foals by that you've got this year?
This year, we have a Ghost Zapper filly.
Oh, wow.
And she is nice, and she's a tank.
Yeah, he is really doing well. I mean, he started out a little slow, but now he's climbing that sire list, you know.
We have a Kitten's Joy colt, and we have a Lemon Drop Kid colt.
Yeah.
And they're both, all three of them are nice, and I see him every day, go out there and play with them, and they're doing fine.
Kitten's Joy is unbelievable, isn't he? I mean, they're winning everywhere. I wonder how many mares that they bred in that horse.
Quite a few, I'm sure.
Well, they could probably quite a few more if he could handle it. Well, you're breeding, you got some nice foals. You sell the Keeneland?
Yes.
Okay. Is this your first crop of selling, or what?
No, we had the one that we sold that's out in California. And then this year we'll have one that's going to be in that sale. And she's by Awesome again. And she's a nice filly.
Oh, you're doing a lot. You're staying in Bourbon County a lot.
Why not?
Yeah.
No. So we've moved around a little bit this year.
Yeah, Awesome again is a great sire.
So,
you know, I think he's the leading living sire or active sire of Breeders' Cup winners.
That's correct.
I think. Tied maybe with Chris S., but Chris S., of course, is gone. But Awesome Again is definitely not gone. He's
knock on wood, this is a good year to have an Awesome Again.
So. Yeah, he might win to Belmont today.
Be sentimentally, you hope so.
Sentimentally, you hope so? No. Greedily, you hope so. So you've got, what do you got to sell this year?
Just that Awesome Again filly, and then I'll be taking the parading filly up to Iowa.
Okay. Who trains for you up there?
No, I'm going to sell her up there.
Oh, you're going to sell her. They've got a sale up there.
They have a sale. It's usually in August, and then they switched it till October this year, and it's going to be the same day as Fessick Tipton in October. So
why would they do that?
There's a state fair in Iowa, which that's where the grounds are, and it conflicted, so that's why they switched to days.
Yeah. Huh. That's kind of odd, though, isn't it? You know, they do go right against another yearling sale.
But, you know, the Iowa sale last year, it's small, but you can get a decent amount of money for a horse if it's correct and, you know, everything goes with it well.
Yeah, well, it's the same anywhere.
Yeah.
As far as that goes.
But purse money up in Iowa is real good.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a good friend from Iowa, Don Bruce. He passed away several years ago. He had some good runners from Hawkins Special. I don't know if you remember him or not. He goes back a ways.
switch partners. They were both by a son of bull ruler named, I should have brought it up. I'll think about it. I'll think of it in the middle of the night and wake up Jackie and tell her.
No, you won't. What did you bring to this year?
This year, let's see. We have a, I'll start through them. We have a Daughter of Dixieland band that we bred to include.
Another one of my favorite horses. I like your taste in horses. This is that's
Indian,
a, that's
Indian a, Love Call, which is, she's a daughter of Cherokee Run.
Okay.
She went to Pioneer of the Nile.
Mm-hmm.
Empire. Mountain Mambo went to Congrats.
Okay, so you're breeding over at Windstar.
On that one.
Yeah. Was it Vinery, but Windstar now, yeah.
And Ryan's Inheritance went to Tapizar.
Okay.
And I think that's... And then... my Iowa mare went to Kodiak Cowboy. Those are the five, right?
You're there. Going to Windstar.
That went to Windstar, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So those three moved over from Vinery.
Right.
That you're talking about. Include is a very good sire. He's keeping a Domino line alive. You know, that's the only thing that's keeping the Domino sire line from dying out is through Broadbrush and Include. And I think that's great. You know, so I kind of like Tiz now is keeping the old man of war line going, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Sounds like you're having some fun.
Everything's going pretty smooth right now. So,
are you living over there now?
Yes, I live there and I take care of the farm. And the partner comes in whenever he gets time to come in and see how things are going.
Yeah. You married?
No, nope, never married.
You never married?
No.
Smarter than you.
Pretty tough Jackie when just, you're gone all the time.
Jackie just said his, he's smarter than me. I could have said that. Well, that's great. Well, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate you coming by, and it's hope we see more. Stop by and see us.
Okay.
Old thing we've got over there now is just some old retired horses like me and rescues.
Well, if you ever need a hand doing anything or you get in a bind or something, give me a call.
Yeah.
I'll ride on over.
You wouldn't like to breed to the last living stud horse by Secretariat, would you? He's a rescue. You wouldn't want to breed to him, I'll tell you. He wouldn't
we could use him as a teaser.
Well, he would work. Except he's 28 years old.
Maybe not.
Well, he doesn't know he's 28. I wish he'd calm down a little bit. He came out of Tennessee. He'd been confined in a stall down there for 7 years.
Oof.
And the Exceller people looking for a home for him. And I couldn't, Jackie and I said, my God, man, you know, treating a horse like that, you know. So we said, well, we'll take him. And so there he is. He's a pain in the catoochie, too, I'll tell you. But he can't get any weight on him. But maybe at 28, you know, although I can't keep it off me.
Same here. I could use to lose a few pounds.
All right. Well, I've been talking to Patrick Warwick, and I hope we see more of you, Patrick. Fun talking to you.
Yeah, same here.
And thanks again for your service once again. We really appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, welcome.
Good luck.
All right, thanks.
And keep those guys straight, those cook boys straight over there. You can give up on Custer. He's a character I've known Ted all his life, I guess. Mm-hmm. Sold a mare to him many, many years ago. I think the mare was 21, 22 years old. She was a Bindlick mare. And I think he gave us $1,000 for her and got about 6 foals out of her.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Patrick. All right, let's see. Where are we here? Prating is a multiple graded stakes winner of over $530,000 by Pulpit. Out of the graded stakes placed on Parade by Stormcat, stand for fee is $3,500 due when a foal stands and nurses. Pulpit by AP Indy is a sire of sires, and on Parade is a full sister to Eclipse Award winner Storm Flag Flying, win of over $2 million, including the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Prating second dam is My Flag by Easy Gore. My Flag won 4 Grade 1 stakes, including the Classic Coaching Club American Oaks and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. She placed in 4 more Grade 1 races. You'll find the Belmont Stakes among her collection. She earned over $1,500,000.
Trading's third dam is one of the greatest mares of all time. Undefeated personal ensign. You look a long time before you fire in a young sire prospect with a race record and a pedigree comparable to Prating standing for 3,500. Stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sam. See the website, claibornefarm.com. All right. LexHorseFarms.com. Remember that website, LexHorseFarms.com. And if you want somebody to really do a good job for you, listen to your property when you get ready to sell, get in touch with Hill and Reagan Parker and at LexHorse.farm, LexHorseFarms.com. And the number, let me give you the phone number. It's a Lexington number, 608-8039. They're real horse people, and that means a lot if you're trying to sell your place, or they've got a lot of connections in the horse business. If you want to list your farm, you know, with them, they've got a great website. So you go look at the website. They've got 12 years experience in real estate. And Hill's a hands-on horseman. I've known Hill for a long time. He's a licensed trainer. Used to win races. A level pony clubber, and used to ride steeplechasers and everything. I thought he had more sense than that, but I tell you what, he has some of the best behaved horses I've ever laid eyes on. Great references. They can give you the people who have done business with them. A long list of satisfied and happy people. Present listings in Fayette and Bourbon and Jessamine, Woodford, Scott, and Clark. Outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices. And, for instance, they've just got a place out here on Lexington, Paris Pike right now. 462-acre turnkey farm, and it's unbelievable. It's such a beautiful place and so well equipped, and a gorgeous house on it. And it got some places down in Bourbon County, a nice little place down in Bourbon County, it was real interesting kind of place too. A 75-acre horse farm at turnkey, and I like nowhere. It's got a nice home on it, good price on it too. You go to the website and look it over, and let them give them a call, and you'd be glad you did if you're trying to sell your farm, because they'll work real hard for them. That's Hill and Reagan Parker, LexHorseFarms.com. Well, Rienzi, winter May 29 of the Grover Buddy Delp Memorial in Delaware is just the most recent of some 230 stakes horses raised at Crestwood Farm. Rienzi was bred by Pope McLean Jr., and Mark McLean. Was a member of the Crestwood Farm Keeneland September sales consignment, went through the ring for $140,000, later sold at the 2012 phase he tipped in February, two-year-old in training sale for $350,000. Many of those 230 stakes winners are sired by stallions that were standing at Crestwood Farm. And Crestwood's the present home of Channel and Country Day and Get Stormy and Mutata, No Biz Like Show Biz, Taste of Paradise, Tis Deja Vu. So if you've got a late foaling mare, call Crestwood Farm. Be sure to ask about breeding incentives. The number over there, Lexington number, 859, area code, 252-3770. Take a good look at the Crestwood Farm consignments to the upcoming sales, keeping in mind that the McLeans sold this year's Sanity the Derby winner, Golden Sense. And that Crestwood is the only farm to have raised three fillies that earned $2 million in purses each. Serena Song, Island Fashion, Extra Heat. Now they raise them right. They're raising the right way at Crestwood Farm. Have been doing so for years. The number again, 252-3770, and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. Jackie, you want to do some announcements so I can rest my...
Okay.
Vocal cord.
That was a fun interview.
Yeah. Patrick's
interesting.
Interesting guy, yeah.
Nice guy, too. Okay, the soccer tournament, Thoroughbred Farm Soccer Tournament, is at Dixiana. Dixiana, of course, is out on Russell Cave. The games begin Sunday, June 23rd. And then Monday through Wednesday, 24th, 25th, and 6th, they begin at 6 o'clock. These are eliminations, I'm sure. And Friends and Family Night is Saturday, June 29th. Games start at 4 o'clock. Barbecue dinner at 6:30. Got a lot of sponsors. Ramsey Farm, Summer Wind, Kirkpatrick. I'm trying to see who else here. I know that you can still be a sponsor if you like. Just give them a call at Dixiana would be fine. Oh, they want you to use the Kenny Road entrance for the soccer. So I wonder where, if you go up Kenny Road, you get to off of Ironworks.
Kenny Lane.
Yeah, they've got road down here.
Kenny Lane.
So if you go up that way, I bet it's up there on the left.
Used to be a pretty nice horse named Kenny Lane. He's by Hard Work.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You know him well.
Knew him well. Intimately.
All right. The Mid-South Eventing and Dressage Association is having a lot of events. See what's going on next. They have a lot of stuff all around. I'm trying to find something that's close. Well, good luck. Go to mseda.org and you can check it out yourself. They got something going on all the time. But, okay, June the 19th, Summer Bird Nights at Masterson. June 26th, Summer Bird Nights. Now, I'm going to explain what Summer Bird Nights are. You take your horse, your dressage horse out there, and you take whatever test you want to take, and I think it's $10 or something. They give you the test, and they grade you and give you your scorecard, and that's a good practice for dressage. Central Kentucky Riding for Hope Night of the Stars fundraiser is going to be June 15th. That's coming up pretty quick at Keeneland Entertainment Complex. Black and White Gala, the Night of the Stars. If you're interested, tickets are $125, and they always have a good crowd at this one. So you need to call 231-7066. Windstar is a big sponsor of that. They help a lot with that. That's excellent. They got a lot of good auction items. You know, you want a country-made doghouse? Custom-made doghouse. And Grand Teton Ski Condo Stay. You know, that kind of fun stuff. Okay. Paris Bourbon County Library. Jamie Nicholson will be there Wednesday, June the 12th. As a part of library's groundbreaking reads for adult summer reading. He wrote, of course, Never Say Die, and he wrote a book called The Kentucky Derby. So it's on 701 High Street. That's Wednesday, June the 12th at 6:00.
That Never Say Die book is we just read it not too long ago. It was really, really, really,
really, really, really good. Yes. Yeah.
Great research and got little tidbits and stuff in there that
you didn't know. Yeah.
Interesting. Good job, Dan.
Yeah. Hats off to Kentucky Horse Industry Day is July 27th at 4:00 at the Horse Park. They need hats. They give everybody that comes a horse industry hat. And last year, they ran out of hats in 30 minutes after the gates opened. So, and it's free.
Where are you dropping them off now?
You can drop them off at Rood and Riddle, Haggard's, Woodford Equine, or the next farm manager's meeting. So they really, you people really need
to dig. When is this thing?
July 23rd, so that'll be a week or two, at least before the next farm manager's meeting, I would think.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Because usually farm manager's first week or so in the
I've got
the
about
month.
600 hats at home.
I know. Got to get them. That's a good thing to do with them.
All right.
Next member. Oh, that guy. Here we go. That guy that spoke at last farm manager's, Vern Dryden,
okay.
Dr. Dryden. That was very, very interesting.
Yeah.
All the stuff now that they try coming at Founder in 14 different ways.
Yeah.
I mean, they really do. What's today? June the 8th. At the Horse Park, Country Air First Number 1, Country Air Number 1 Hunter Jumper Show. Today and tomorrow, that finishing that up. Today is the final day of the Pyramid Society Egyptian Arabian event. You know, one time somebody at the Courier Journal, they had a big Arab show in Louisville, and a guy put down, "The Arabs are back with all their tack and tackiness." Yeah. Wasn't that awful? Anyway, Monday at the horse park. Let's see. Tomorrow is the last day of the Country Air Hunter Jumper. Then Monday is UK 4-H Judging Clinic. Then the 12th through the 16th is Country Air Hunter Jumper number 2. After that, it's Mideast Quarter Horse, Mid-South Pony Club Rally, and all sorts of good stuff. That's what's going on there. Churchill Downs closes June 30th. Ellis Park opens on the 4th of July. And Kentucky Downs, September 7th through the 25th, and I understand that they're going to have maiden races for 80,000 buckos. I read that somewhere. Mm-hmm. That's how high the purses are going to be. Purses are going to be loaded. So that's June 7th through the 25th.
90,000, somebody said.
90. Wow, I thought I saw 80. Holy cats.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Somebody was talking about that this morning.
Yeah, yeah, I read
while
it.
While we were clocking.
Wow, that's where you're. That's where I'd be aiming. Ooh, if I had anything.
Scratch that horse at Beulah.
Okay, June 8th and 19th, UK Equine Farm and Ag Facilities Expo is June 19th at Tollgate Farm in Georgetown. All kind of stuff. If you like stuff. Troy Rankin's place. That's Troy.
Yeah.
Yeah. His is Tollgate Farm. So they're going to have demonstrations and all kind of good stuff, equipment, machinery, and all that good stuff.
Let me interrupt you.
Go right ahead.
All right. Well, First Defense, it's our two graded stakes winner in his first crop to race. Close Hatches has won the Grade 2 Gazelle Stakes in New York. And on May 27 at Belmont, she ran second in the classic Grade 1 Acorn. Dun Donnell has won the Group 3 Acom Stakes, the King Charles II Stakes, placed in the Group 2 Champagne and the Group 3 Craven Stakes in Great Britain, and in his lone start in the USA, finished 4th 14 in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Two other first crop starters by First Defense placed in stakes. New Line was second in the Trippy Stakes at Belmont after breaking his maiden by 5 lengths down in Florida. And Smoking in the Boys' Room won a maiden special, then ran second in the Turfway Preview Stakes. Other promising runners by First Defense include In Kelly's Defense, a winner of a maiden special at Churchill on June 2, stakes contender Fireguard. And the first two-year-old starter from his second crop, Z-Stone, was a game second in her debut in a maiden special at Keenan. First Defense stands for 7,500 live foal, stands at Judmont Farm, where he's receiving strong support from his breeders. Judmont is also the home of the classic sire Mizzenmast. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke, Aaron Fry. See the website, judmont.com. All righty, my good friends over at Bloodstock Research Information Services, we're trying to get in touch with Mr. Moody, who is, writes the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, which is published by Bloodstock Research Information Services. Great, great outfit. I've been doing business with Happy Broadbent and the folks over at Brisnet for, geez whiz, I don't know how long. Longer than I'd like to remember, I tell you. It's been a long time. I couldn't do this show without them. And I really appreciate what they do for me. And the services that they render are just unbelievable for the breeder, for the trainer, for the especially for the gambler. If you bet, I don't see how you could do any better than to subscribe to Bloodstock Research. That's BRISNET is the website. Check in there. Log on to brisnet.com and look over what they have to offer. It's fantastic. Pedigrees and sire records, and it's unbelievable. And really great folks to do business with. So check them out. That's brisnet.com. Well, in stakes last week, the winner of the Grade 3 Vigil Stakes at Woodbine was bred by Windstar Farm, raised on products from McCauley Brothers. Also raised at McCauley Brothers products on their spot were the winners of the Grade 3 Hessian Cup Stakes. That's Hoagie, bred by Dr. John Little. Rasilica, winner of the $500,000 Penn State Mile, was bred by Hillendale Holding in partnership with Gaines Gentry and raised at Hillendale. Rienzi, winner of the Delaware's Grover Buddy Delp Memorial, was bred by Pope McLean Jr. and Mark McLean, and raised at Crestwood Farm. So congratulations from the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse, and that, of course, is McCauley Brothers. And the goal of McCauley Brothers has always been, and they've been successful doing it, producing the world's finest feeds and supplements for the horse. And I'll tell you what, they walk the extra mile to do it. Call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 859-873-3333. Talk to them about the products over at McCauley's and the free services that come with every bag you purchase. McCauley Brothers, 111 Broadway in Versailles. That's where it is all about the horse. All right, Jackie, if you want to return back.
Oh, yes, thank you. Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club 21st Annual Challenge Cup Golf Scramble will be July the 1st at University Club. Proceeds benefit Kimi and the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. It's a 12 p.m. shotgun start. You don't have to have an active member of the Farm Managers Club to play. Teams should have an ABCD level. Well, that let you out. Player.
Amen. Get my grandson to go play, though.
Yeah, there you go. Minimum of 2 drives per player must be used during the 18 holes. Only 2 drives for your little D level? Oh, jeez. Okay. Anyway, if you're interested, go to ktfmc.org and fill out the thing or print it out. And if you want to have more information, call Brent Wilson, 753-5715. Horse Park Foundation has a schooling cross-country schooling day coming up Sunday, July 7th. Now, they've only got 2 more listed, and the other one is in September. So if you want to get out there and ride around where all the big guys, the big kids, get to ride, this is your chance. You need a Coggins health cert. You have to have a helmet, a vest, and a medical armband. Anyway, you can always call the horse park for more information. Masterson Equestrian Trust. I got to get a hold of Mary Pearson. I understand she's on the board of directors out there now. And I need more information about what upcoming events at Masterson. You know, the next thing I've got is Mid-South Tet Triathlon Rally, June 15th and the 16th. So anyway, that's all I've got.
All righty. Well, let me take care of the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association in Toba and my good friend David Schweitzer and give you the names of the breeders of Kentucky Bred Stakes winners over the past weekend. And out of Hollywood Park, the Grade 2 Californian Stakes winner, Clubhouse Ride, was bred by Mr. and Mrs. Sidney Craig and Jenny Craig. The Grade 3 Aristides Stakes down at Churchill Down winner was Scatman, bred by JEOG Racing, LLC. And, of course, Scatman is by the top star, Scat Daddy, who stands out at Ashford Stud. Up at Woodbine, the Vigil Stakes Grade 3 winner, Laugh Trick, another runner by Distorted Humor. He's this one bred by Windstar Farm. And he beat Essence Hitman by half length, ran him down. He's by Sprightstown. Of course, he was champion sprinter last year up there. How far were they going? 7 furlongs. They went in 1:21 and 4. Went to first. Essence Hitman went to first 3 quarters in 8 and 3, and then Laugh Track by Distorted Humor caught him. Of course, Sprightstown also stands out there at Windstar. Let's see now, where are we? The opening verse stakes up at Churchill Downs winner, Silver Max, by the Spendthrift, Airdrie Stud, Badger Silver, bred by Steve Snowden, Seth Lawfer, and Will Lawfer. Badger Silver, as I said, is an Airdrie Stud.
The Mia Farrah Stakes at Arlington Park was won by Flower Spell, bred by Mary Wisniewski Johnson. Let's see, the Joseph French Memorial Stakes at Delaware Park, Win Wally won that, bred by Overbrook Farm. Yes, we had Rick Wallman on the show last week, and of course he was affiliated with Overbrook for years and years, and golly, that Win Wally won that stakes up at Delaware Park. The Penn Mile Stakes, $500,000 pot, went to Rydillic, raised at Hillendale Farm, bred by Hillendale Equine Holdings, Inc., and Gaines Gentry Thoroughbreds. At Penn National, the Mountain View Stakes winner was bred by Ward Wilford, B. Williford, W-I-L-L-I-F-O-R-D, Ward Wilford. The Prairie Mile Stakes at Prairie Meadows, our double play won that. That's a grand slam. Who stood, of course, at Ashford Stud. He'd about gone west, not to be confused with the original grand slam. He was, a foal in 1933 by chance play. He'd be a good racehorse, the original one, with two. He won the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes, won the Arlington Futurity, sired Devil's Thumb. He won the Hopeful in Sanford. Sired a real good horse at Miss Tom Pied bred, named Pete, P-I-E-T, pronounced Pete, who won the Whitney and the Toboggan and the Bay Shore and the Arlington Futurity. Jamaica Handicap won that twice. So the original Grand Slam was by chance play, but this Grand Slam, who's now deceased, because they both are, was by Gone West. And he also stood at Ashford Stud. This one bred by W.D. Burris. The Panther Stakes at Prairie Meadows. Harlan's Holiday, of course, another Windstar Stallion. This one bred by Mark Stanley. Harlan's Holiday has been very successful. And Kenny McPeak trains it. Kenny shipped down there to win that. Horse is going on, coming off a win at Churchill Downs. So congratulations to Kenny. Very, very good. All right, let's see. Where else am I here? Catch up here with this. And well, here comes another run about De Hare. May 29 at Arlington Park. Ascot Eye, three-year-old filly about De Hare, making her first start. Won a maiden special by an eye-catching 7 3/4 lengths, bred by Heidi Al-Tajir, and carrying the silks of Shadwell Farm. Ascot Eye wired the field, going 5 furlongs on the dirt and near track record time of 57 4. She is one of 10 winners from 12 starters by De Hare, a list that includes the multiple greatest stakes winner, Gypsy Robin, winner of $498,000, ASEA, second in the $100,000 Busanda Stakes in New York, and multiple stakes place Costello. In other stakes last Saturday, Just Sizzle, a colt from the first crop by classic winner Jazzle, just missed in the Grade 3 Aristides Stakes at Churchill, finishing second by a neck to the good Scat Daddy colt Scat Man. Just days earlier, Najir, another colt from Jazzle's first crop, ran third, got beat a nose and a half length in the Grade 3 Clark Handicap at Churchill Downs. Classic winner Jazzle, aside a group winner, a group one winner in Europe, a group one winner in South America. He's got another stakes winner in Europe. He's the side of the highly promising colt Seafree, who won his first three starts and then was in his fourth start, was a recent second in group three stakes in France. And grade one stakes winner De Hare, of course, is by Awesome Again. Can't beat that. Stands for $5,000 live full. Grade one stakes winner Jazzle is by Seeking the Goal. Of course, Jazzle won a Belmont Stakes. He stands for $4,000 live full, and both of them stand at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to Stallion Manager Kent Barnes. See the website at shadwellfarm.com. Okay, I want to talk about my good friends over at Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. Out on Georgetown Pike, right close to where Ironworks empties out there. That's where you'll find Dr. Bill Bernard and Dr. Wesley Sutter. Dr. Bernard, of course, an internist. He's spent 20 years some of over Root and Rill. And he said Doug Bauer was his mentor. That couldn't have a better one. And Bill's been around a long time. He deals with anything, you know, infectious diseases, respiratory problems, and so forth. Dr. Sutter is a orthopedic surgeon and sports medicine specialist, professor of equine orthopedic surgery at Ohio State, And then he practiced down in Ocala for a while, practiced up here with Rude and Riddle, and then he got together with Bill, and they formed the Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. Great facility out there, state of the art. They've got the only standing MRR machine in Lexington for horses. They've also got a new nuclear scintigraphy machine, bone scans to do with that, and it's state of the art. Best thing about it is it's an elective surgery only. You call in, tell them what you want. Done. They give you the price right up front. You go in, they take care of you, and they send you home. Outpatient medicine. And that's what they specialize in. So give them a call over to Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. Here's their website. It's LexingtonEquine.com. LexingtonEquine.com. Well, July 1 in Pennsylvania, the Penn Dash Stakes was won by King Henry by congrats. King Henry went into the Penn Dash off a score at Pimlico. In fact, he's won three in a row, and the Penn Dash was his eighth win. He's just the latest in a long list of runners from the first three crops by congrats. In fact, congrats aside, 17% stakes horses from starters and 12% stakes horses from foals. Numbered among the stakes horses from his first three crops, grade one stakes winner Turbulent Descent. Winner of more than $1,211,000. Grade one stakes winner Wickedly Perfect. She won the grade one Alcibiades right out of Keenan. The grade one winner Amazon Corps. She won the grade one prize at Saratoga. And she's grade two placed this year. Congrats. Graded stakes winner and a grade one placed earner of nearly $1 million is by AP Indy out of Praise by Mr. Prospect. He's a full brother to the grade one sire Flatter. Wonderful pedigree. Congrats, Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy, Leanna Packard, a chance. Tim, 859-873-1717. The website, windstarfarm.com.
Sally Van Service is a business for more. Experienced horseman. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
All righty. Well, they're running the Early Times Mint Julep at Churchill Downs today. I love the sponsor of this one. And I've got my very good friend Steve Moody with us. He's going to give us a winner of that. And I'm going to ask him who he likes in the Belmont Stakes today. Steve, how are you doing today?
All right, Earth, how you doing?
I'm doing real good for an old poop. who do you like up in the Mint Julep today?
Well, let's see. We've got that short field up there today. Mile and 16th, fillies and mares on the turf. And a field of six was drawn there. Went for a little bit of a price in here, so I wasn't all that enamored with the big favorite in here, Daisy Divine. I went for the outside horse, Soft Whisper. This horse came back and made her return from a layoff, came back on Oaks Day, and came from off the pace, beat a pretty nice field in an optional claimer. And the thing I liked about that race is that she showed that she didn't have to have the lead every step of the way. She laid just off the pace in there. The runner-up in that race, Cozy Up Lady, she came back right out of that race, and she won her next time out. So I think that was a pretty good race, and this one stepping up into a stake race today, I don't think it's that big of a step up, really. And I think she can, sit right off of Daisy Divine. I think there's some other other pace in the race in here. Heavenly Landing has got some speed, And I think that Soft Whisper can just lay just right there in the kind of in the garden spot, take over, turn for home, and get to the line first. So I'm going to give her a shot at 6-1. The one horse Colonial Flag. I think she'll get to save ground along the inside. She'll be running from off the pace as well. I think she can get part of it. And then the three horse, Ms. Ida, very consistent performer. I think she's going to be right in the thick of it as well. And I think she can grab part of it as too. So I went 6-1-3 in the Mint Julep.
All right. Well, who do you like in the Belmont today?
Well, I kind of used the same strategy in the Belmont as I did in the Derby. Ursula, you know, a mile and a half. I just don't think there's a whole lot of them that really want to go that far. And I kind of got it down to three or four horses that I think could get the distance. And I finally settled on the nine horse, the Windstar horse, Ursula Revolutionary. Had a good race in the Derby. Can handle handle an off track. I think she's the horse is all right up there at Belmont. Gets a new rider today. Calvin's not riding since they went to Belmont, and they're going to go with Castellano, who is the top rider up there. And I think he's got a big shot in there. I'm gonna go with him. I might have gone with Dallas's horse Golden Soul, who was my runner up in the Derby. Had he drawn a little bit better post, but I wasn't crazy about the 14 hole. I did take him second, and then the Derby winner Orb. I've got him third. So 9-14-5 in the Belmont.
Well, you had Orb in the Derby,
right?
Yeah, they switched off this time.
Yeah, I'm still a little bit kind of iffy on Orb about how much he really relishes Belmont Park. You know, his only race there was his poorest performance of his life. Now, I know he trains there, and you can look at it and say, well, he had an excuse that race. It was his second start, and he didn't break particularly well. And all that's true, but he broke a lot worse than that his first time out at Saratoga, and yet he still came running at the end and just barely got beat. Huh. And the race at Belmont, he didn't break, he didn't break as badly. He got beat like 22 lengths. So I'm still a little concerned about whether he really relishes it there.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that off track won't hurt him. Obviously, he showed he can handle that. But I don't know. We're just, like I said, I thought there's only three or four that wanted a mile and a half. And I think Orb is one of them. And I think Revolutionary is one of them. And I think Gold Soul is one of them. And I think there's a big long shot in there. I think Incognito, I think you could say that he could handle it. But past that, I think it's a little sketchy. So I'm going to go, like I said, going with the Windstar Colt, and
yeah,
happens.
What about Palace Malice?
Well, I know I've talked to one friend of mine this week that was really high on the horse. And always been working well. They took the blinkers off because he went out and set those crazy fractions in the Derby, and so I think he could bounce back with a better effort today, whether he can win it. I'm saying no, but the Lord knows I've been wrong in the Belmont before.
I'm just wrong once a year in that race. All right. Well, Steve, thank you so much. I appreciate it. This has been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, which is published by my good friends over at Bloodstock Research and Information Services. You want to go to brisnet.com, and you can pick up the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, or you can pick one up down at Churchill or just about wherever they sell a daily racing form. All right. Well, thank you so much, Steve, and appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next week.
All right, Erson.
All right. Well, Smart Strike is North America's leading active sire by cumulative earnings. To date, he has sired the winners of over $96 million. Dominus, standing his first season at stud at Spendthrift Farm, is by Smart Strike, and he's out of the stakes when a stakes winning daughter of Lord of War, and he was a runner, never off the board in his first eight starts. Dominus won the Grade Two Dwyer on the dirt. He won the Grade Two Bernard Baruch on grass, both incidentally in front running fashion. Dominus is eligible for a Spendthrift Breed Secure program. You breed, you sell, and if you don't make a profit, well, you don't pay. Also eligible for the program of the Young Stallions Line of David Notional in Temple City. Line of David won the Grade One Arkansas Derby over Super Saver. He's by Lionheart from the female family of Mr. Prospector. His first foal to yearlings. Notional, well, he sired a two-year-old stakes winner in his first crop, and the first two-year-old starter from his second crop won a maiden special out of Keenan. So he's already demonstrated his ability to sire runner. Temple City is a graded stakes winner and a track record breaker. He's by Dynaformer out of a half-sister to Malibu Moon. And his first foals yearlings. Not too late to take advantage of the Breed Secure program. Just contact Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030. And see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Well, we've got a few minutes here. I'm going to read. I read this every Belmont Stakes Day. Never gets old to me. Maybe to somebody else, but it's called Belmont in the 20th Century, and it was written by Joe Palmer. So, without further ado, here we go. A few years ago, a trainer down in Maryland was doing no good whatsoever with a horse. It looked like it could run some, but it wouldn't win. Then he got a letter from a patient in the state insane asylum, a fellow that used to train horses and had worked around the secretary's office afterward. Quit sprinting that horse, the letter said. He wants to go a distance. So because nothing seemed to matter, our hero picked out a distance race in the condition book and dumped his horse in. Came home rolling. Solvency returned. Joy, as they say, reigned supreme. Then the story got out. Isn't it wonderful, people would say. Poor old Ed. He's off his rocker and they shut him up. But still he knows more about your horses than you do. And he's in and you're loose. But it seems to add up to the notion that a suggestion from any source is worth considering. So it is definitely moved in this corner that Belmont Park recognized the 20th century. To be sure, it will not be accomplished fact for almost 50 years or more. But let's get in ahead of this one. Let it be understood first that I like Belmont, maybe better than any track I know. It hasn't the homey charm of, say, Keeneland, or the intimacy of Pimlico, or the nostalgic somnolence of Saratoga. You don't get those in areas served by the Long Island Railroad. But taking it all around, Belmont is the top year after year. It puts up the most money, and it draws the best horses. Go out to Belmont, and you get the best there is. For instance, there's the Suburban, the pearl of the handicaps. There are a few handicaps with more money, but none where there's no other with such a whispering down the years. Henry of Navarre, Ben Brush, Beldame, Friar Rock, Greylag, Crusader, Equipoise, 830, Arm, Assault. There's no owner with money enough to stay in the game, but would rather have the Suburban trophy than a handful of richer races. In the sixth race, May 31, at Belmont. Then it will be the Coaching Club American Oaks, prize filly race of the season. Belmont's present president, George D. Widener, won it in 1918 with Rose Dior. and in 1936 with High Fleet, and maybe he'll win it again with Watermill. It will be the sixth race, June 2, at Belmont. A couple of Saturdays later, there will be the Belmont Stakes, the true test for the three-year-olds. And what a whispering there will be. Ruthless, Harry Bassett, Duke of Magenta, Spendthrift, Granada, Hanover, Commando. It stretches out too long for listing, but the names are like plucked strings. It will be the sixth race, June 12, at Belmont. In May, this tour saw diverse citizens from Roanoke, Virginia, and Paoli, Indiana, crying to the third julep. One's plenty, two's too many, and three ain't half enough. As the horses file from under the stands at Churchill Downs to a very inadequate rendition of My Old Kentucky Home. I could have played it better on a comb. And you can see ancient Maryland turf riders try to pull in their stomachs as Maryland, my Maryland, rose to the afternoon air before the Preakness. Well, the Belmonts are better race than either of them. And who has to tell you so? Why, a Kentuckian. Now probably Bard. If you doubt it, read down the list of winners and then dig in the books to see how they went into the stud and sent the great racers back. So while I'm probably not going to get it, I want a band. I don't want a bunch of bums with horns either. I want a band with uniforms that fit and a drum major 9 feet tall. I want a band that can spell out Native Dancer on the steeplechase course. And I want a guy dressed like an apostrophe in case he has to spell Ram o' War. I don't care if it plays the sidewalks of New York or Cape Town races. When the Belmont Field comes out, I want it to play something that says to the assembled multitude holding the return half of the Long Island Railroad tickets, look, chums, this isn't the sixth race. This is the Belmont. That's Joe Palmer. Doesn't get much better than Joe Palmer. He can write like nobody else. Before or since,
yes,
as far as I'm concerned. All right, let's look at, we got 4 minutes to go. Golly, I'm going to have to sing or something. meanwhile, let's talk about some of the winners that came out of the Thoroughbred Center here since last week's show. And let's see, 1, 2, 3 of them were Churchill Downs. On the first day of the month, Scooter Hughes saddled Too Pretty for Words that won the third race down at Churchill Downs. Then Eduardo Caramoy that same day saddled the winner of a race at Indiana Downs, a horse named Woodland Harmony. Tim Shue saddled Sharp Charmer that same day, won at Indiana Downs. And on the first day, Scooter Hughes, Granted Green Eyes, won at Mountaineer. Eduardo saddled the winner at Beulah Park on the 2nd of June. That same day at 2, won at Mountaineer from here. Raquel Albright saddled Press the Hard Ways, and Tim Shue won another one with Round Rock, as I said, both of those at Mountaineer. Oscar Modica won at Mountaineer on the 4th of June with Lord Connect. That same day, Marco Castaneda, Marco used to ride races, incidentally, saddled Me Perlita, who won down at Mountaineer, and Bold Adventure won at Mountaineer that same day, trained by Bill Wofford, who for years has been in charge of the steeplechase, the High Hole Steeplechase, which is now deceased. No more.
Maybe they're going to try next year.
You're going to try next year? Mm-hmm. Did you talk to Bill about that?
Somebody said that.
Somebody said that. Yeah. Well, anyway. Well, hope they do. We had three winners yesterday, or two of them at Churchill Downs. Steve Casey won with Nasty Girl Blues at Churchill Downs. I think paid $31 and some change. And then Jimmy Cargan won the feature race at Churchill yesterday with Hennyville. And that one played $60-something, $61, $62. Now, I bet you that tight Irishman didn't bet $2 on it.
Might not.
Jimmy does a really good job. And then Scooter Hughes had another one at Indiana Downs last night. Lady Susan won down at Indiana Downs. And Lady Scooter's having a, he's been on a roll. I don't know how many winners he's had lately. He's got a pretty good size stable here, but he certainly wins his share of them. I want to thank Patrick Warsk for coming in for Glendalough Farm. My neighbor down at Brentsville Road. Jackie, want to listen in? They're singing, they're playing that song. Just get an earphones on there. This is a different rendition of her.
Who cares about the clouds?
That's fine.
How about? Well, that means it's time for us to spit out the bit. Thanks for listening. Go to Ursula Ellis, horsetails.com. You can pick up whatever's going on around here. So thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.